in the second volume of the Shilas HaTruth Mimamakim, Simon Yud Zayin, Rav Asher discusses the following question. And first he gives some background, as he generally does, in order to understand the context. He, first of all, focuses upon one particular yeshiva that is exceptionally well known, which we know of today as the Slobodka Yeshiva, where many of Gedolei Yisrael learned and were guided, in particular by the Alter of Slobodka, Rav Nathan C. Finkel. And he mentions that this yeshiva, Knesset Yisrael in Slobodka, which was Merkaz Torah Olami, was a center for, a worldwide center for Torah, and it was considered to be such an influential institution where so many people, Gedolei Yisrael, learned. He describes how, after the war, they found that this yeshiva had been totally destroyed. He said they had wiped it out entirely down to the foundations, the Germans and the Lithuanians. And then he went on to describe how they made sure to destroy every element of it. The place where the Aron Kodesh was, you couldn't even recognize it anymore. Basically, they had tried to destroy as much of the building and the vestiges of Kedusha that they could possibly destroy. And he mentions in the beginning of the next page, they poured their wrath. They tried to destroy this more than other places of Kedusha. This place of Kedusha, this yeshiva, was like a thorn in the eyes of their impure eyes. In their eyes, and this yeshiva represented the nitzchus of Klal Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael survives from generation to generation, and it represented a mesorah that had been going on, he says, in Lithuania for 700 years. So they wanted to try to demonstrate by destroying this place that this was going to be uprooted entirely. He went on to other places. He went on to other shuls, batiknesias, batmitroshes, yeshivos, and he says many of them also had been destroyed. They had been converted into places where horses are kept and where cattle are kept. And every once in a while you'd find some place where there was something left over. And the question arose of the remains of these various different places of Kedusha, about the Knesses, about the Midrashos and Yeshivos, what required Gniza? What could simply, be left alone and there's nothing to do? But what might still have Kedusha and therefore would require Gniza, burial on the ground? So Rav Asher has an involved tshuva. He quotes a lot of different sources. For our purposes, I will streamline this. And he mentions the following. There's a fundamental distinction mentioned in the halacha. It starts in the Gemara Megillah, Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis. The Gemara draws a distinction between what's called Tashmishei Kedusha as opposed to Tashmishei Mitzvah. Tashmishei Mitzvah refers to items like, for example, a lulav, a shofar, other items which are used, tzitzis, which are used in order to fulfill a mitzvah. And according to the essential halacha, it does not have to be buried. We find in the poskim later on that they mentioned that it should be treated with respect. It shouldn't be treated in a shameful kind of way. But nonetheless, there's no halacha that it has to be buried per se. So if a shofar, for example, is ruined, or a lulav after sukkah is over, there's no din of geniza, of a need to bury it. However, in regard to Tashmishei Kedusha, it's a different story. If you have something which serves a Sefer Torah, or a tefillin, or a mezuzah, in other words, the parchment itself is the source of the Kedusha, and then you have something which then serves it, so then that does require Geniza. It does require a burial. And the question is, what is the status of the of these various different parts of the Beis HaKnesses, right, the Aron and the other parts as well. So basically, after all of a sudden, the Ravashri mentions a number of different sources which deal with the Aron in particular. That's a major focus in this tshuva. What's the status of the Aron? He's of the view that there are sources which indicate that the Aron is considered to be Tashmishei Kedusha, that it serves the Sefer Torah. So therefore, since it serves the Sefer Torah, so it's considered to be what we call Tashmishei Kedusha, and therefore the Aron would have to be buried. I will note, Rav Asher already himself notes that there are conflicting sources, and some of the Mefarshim draw a distinction between an Aron, which is meant just simply for Shmira, for protection, as opposed to an Aron, which is meant to give kavod to the Sefer Torah. If it's also meant to give kavod to the Sefer Torah, then that may be more of a reason why it has a higher level of Kedusha. If it's just meant for the practical Shmira, to guard the Sefer Torah, then it may not have the same level of Kedusha. And there are discussions in the later poskim as well nowadays about this, because one of the interesting things they point out is that the Aron doesn't necessarily touch the Sefer Torah. Usually we assume Tashmishei Kedusha come in direct contact with the article of Kedusha, like, for example, the Sefer Torah. But if something, you know, is encasing or surrounding the Sefer Torah, and then you have something outside of that, so the item on the outside, which is one degree or is not in direct contact with the Sefer Torah, that would be called an halacha tashmish to tashmish. It would be a one level removed and would not require geniza per se. And some of the postgame actually nowadays point this out, and they mention that, you know, or later postgame deal with this, and they point out that maybe the Aron is not a Tashmish to Kedusha because the Sefer Torah always has a mantle on it nowadays and always has the Atzei Chaim. So the klaf of the Sefer Torah itself is not going to touch the Aron. So maybe the mantle is considered to be Tashmish de Kedusha, the Atzei Chaim are considered to be Tashmish de Kedusha, but the Aron would be Tashmish de Tashmish. So maybe it would be one step removed. And then on the other hand, there are poskim amongst the Achronim who emphasize that the Aron is considered to be apparently Tashmish Kedusha, maybe because it's designated, it's Miyuchad, to serve the Sefer Torah, and therefore, even though it's not in direct contact with the Sefer Torah, nonetheless, it has this elevated status of Kedusha. So after all is said and done, Rav Ashri, after quoting many different sources, comes to the following conclusion at the end of his tshuva. He says, this is in the second last page, page Kuf Aleph, Tav No Ladino, we turn back to the halacha. Arna Kodesh Nikra Rak, Imaso Mitchilo Kimin Agaz Vachaka Chavu B'Chalal HaChoma, Aval Chalal Atzmo Einol of Din Shel Arna Kodesh, El Yeshel of Kedushas, Kedusha Kishar, Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. So he says, if you have, like the equivalent of what we call a box, which is the Aron, and the Aron is placed into the wall, that box, which holds the Sefer Torah, that itself is considered to be an Aron Kodesh, and therefore that Aron, that usually was made out of wood, would have to be buried. It would require geniza. The hollow part of the wall itself, right, that surrounds this box, would have the status of the rest of the Beis HaKnesses and would not require geniza per se. And then he mentions, in regard to other items in the shul, the bima, the bookcases, right, the aronos hasfarim, they don't have a status of tashmishei kedusha, but they have a din of what's called tashmish, the tashmish, a lower level of kedusha, and therefore technically they would not require geniza. So that's the basic gist of what he says in terms of what requires geniza in the Beis HaKnesses, or in discussions in the postgame as well, that sometimes in regard to Beis HaKnesses, you know, maybe there should be some kind of pidyon which takes place, which some sort which would remove the Kedusha from the Beis HaKnesses, and therefore would not be subject to as much bizayon. But in any case, Vashri does not discuss that per se, and he focuses upon particularly that which has the status of the Aron itself, that is the item in the Beis HaKnesses, or in the Yeshiva, in the Beis Medrash, which should be focused upon as requiring Genisa.